Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, does living in the West influence the way Muslims practice Ramadan?
Although Western Muslims live in less Islamic surroundings during Ramadan, many of them feel a stronger need to practice their religious duties. In the Muslim and Arab countries where the Muslim population is greater, all neighbors, friends, and family go through the same spiritual, religious, and social experience. This usually helps the community adapt and appreciate the holy month, knowing that others are going through the same duties. Western Muslims, however, may not have the same conditions during Ramadan because their faith is a minority. But for many, the lack of these conditions creates a greater strength to achieve a true religious experience. For Western Muslims, Ramadan always acts as a perfect occasion to attract this community to its religious duties. The West may not offer the religious routine that one can observe in a Muslim country, yet this helps Western Muslims explore the reasons behind Ramadan duties. As a result, Western Muslims are encouraged to achieve a sense of belonging and a drive to explore and appreciate such practices. Considering the conditions that Western Muslims encounter during Ramadan, this episode of Islam and Life asks, does living in the West influence the way Muslims practice Ramadan?
This is a good question indeed. While we are talking about Ramadan and even the religious practices for Muslims, very often we repeat that it's easier to live as a Muslim in Muslim-majority countries and very difficult to live as a Muslim in the West or as a minority in the West. Yet, it's quite interesting to see that because the Muslims are surrounded by people who are not practicing the same religion, very often they come back to the very essence of the religion and asking themselves why they fast, why they pray. So is it a positive dimension? Is it problematic? Because once again, when you are working the whole day in an environment where the people are not interested in religion, sometimes they are not practicing any religion, and you find yourself fasting, it could be difficult, it could be challenging, and it could influence you the other way around. So these are questions that are important not only for our daily life, but in our understanding of the very essence of Islam and as Muslims, how do we live as Muslims in our contemporary world. To answer all these questions, I'm joined by Sarah Joseph, editor of ML Magazine. Thank you so much for being with us, Sarah. Wa alaikum salam. Let me start with this. From the essence, the philosophy of our religion and the practices, would you say, before just we start talking about Ramadan, that it's easier to live as Muslims in the West, or very, very difficult when the environment is not, you know, Muslim and not interested sometimes in religion?
Like everything, there's ease and there's difficulty. And I'm sure if you're living in Muslim majority countries, there's ease and there's difficulty. But I do think that one of the things that we have living within the West is we're questioned. And when you're constantly questioned by friends, family perhaps, or, you know, neighbors, work colleagues, and just society in general, asking you, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you cover? Why do you pray? Why do you fast? You have to search for answers. And that search for answers and then teaching, because it says in the Quran, teach, for teaching benefits the believer, actually helps nourish and gives you strength very often.
But when you have, for example, a first generation, and once again, this is common among Muslims, that to question too much could be counterproductive, because you end up shaking the foundations of your faith. What would you would be your answer to that?
Well, the Quran is dedicated to people who think. And so if we disengage our thinking process, then we're actually disengaging from an aspect of the Quran and from Allah's will upon us. And so I think that we should question, and we should dig deeper, and we should search for answers. That's not to say that all of the answers will become apparent to us, and that's not to say, I mean, we will find, you know, as we explore this, there are many objectives for Ramadan. Of course, the central objective is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the searching for other sort of socially and physically and spiritual answers to why we do certain things adds depth. And I don't think they're mutually exclusive, the fact that we search for objectives as well as just ultimately surrendering ourselves to God's will.
Yes, in fact, it could be the opposite. It might be that the Western experience of fasting and practicing should be exported to some Muslim majority countries, where very often what we have today is people fasting or even praying, practicing their religion in a way which is, okay, we are following the crowd, following the community, and not always questioning the fundamentals of the religion, understanding them. And this experience of the Western Muslims also have a tremendous impact on, or should have a tremendous impact on what is experienced in the Muslim majority countries.
I mean, I don't like to create this massive division. I think at the end of the day, we can learn from each other. The hospitality of Muslim majority countries, when you travel to them, is wondrous. And that sense of Ramadan being the glue which binds a society together, I think we would envy that. And when we go and we see Muslims in the in Muslim majority countries all doing and living that same shared moment together, you know, it is very exciting for us. But at the same time, we learn from each other, and that's what we should be doing.
Yes. We'll come to this because I think it's an important point. Let us come to the specificities of fasting in the West. Does it change the very essence of Ramadan? You have been, were born and raised in the West. You are a Western, a European, a British Muslim. What are the challenges that you are facing when you fast in the West?
I think for me, very much in the early days, I've been a Muslim since 1988, but very much in the early days, there was a certain loneliness, actually, about fasting as somebody who'd come outside of the Muslim, you know, tradition. Of course, within a Muslim family, even within the West, you would have parents, siblings, aunties, uncles who are fasting with you. But as somebody who's a convert or revert, it was very isolating, very lonely. And Eid can be incredibly lonely as well. You've got no one to actually celebrate with. You fasted a whole 30 days, and then there's no one to be at Eid with. You know, so that isolation can be very difficult, particularly for new Muslims. But I think there's also the fact that you're having to work in a working environment where people who don't really necessarily understand what you're doing, and the sort of quizzical notions, and you're trying to get closer to God, but the whole world is sort of, you know, there's cafes and there's, you know, everything else going on as normal around you. It can be a challenge.
Yes, but the point of isolation and you know, I have people, brothers and sisters, saying that during Ramadan, they even go back sometimes to the countries of origin, because they say the flavor, the in-depth, the essence, the feeling is not the same. You said that you had this feeling of isolation at the beginning. Is it still the case? Is it changing? Can we see now things changing? Because my sense is that over the last 20 years, the way the Muslims were and the way they are now is completely different. There is something different. Even in some schools, we have now non-Muslims fasting with their fellow students, just because they feel that something is happening during these months. Can you feel this change? Is there something which is changing even in the way we practice our religion and our fasting in the West?
I think, I mean, from my personal experience, of course, I'm within a family now, so it's very much a different experience. But I think even for new Muslims who are coming into the faith today, there's still that finding community, finding someone to break fast with, finding someone to have eating, that still exists.
It's still difficult.
But yes, I do recognise the point that, you know, in some places, even within Britain, there are areas where there's large Muslim populations, and you know, they provide a sense of community. I think it really depends on where you live, you know, what your individual circumstances are. But there's no doubt that isolation still exists, particularly within, you know, the convert community, or even a new student, perhaps, who's gone to a university where there's not many Muslims, might feel suddenly, all of a sudden, thrust into a confused world.
You said something that it's quite important not to have this sense that we are, you know, it's two worlds and we should communicate and we should learn from one another. Still, now the spiritual dimension of Ramadan, because at the end of the day, it's not only not to drink, not to eat, is a spiritual experience, is to come back to the self, is to question and to assess who we are, what we are doing, and what we want to achieve. And in an industrialized society, sometimes under the pressure of consumerism, the spiritual meaning should be there, should be, this is what. And still, once again, and this is maybe also the bad influence and neglectfulness towards the essence of Ramadan. We eat more, during the night, and it's all about the nights and less about the days. Do you have this sense that it might be that the spiritual dimension is easier to get in an environment where you are questioned? The spiritual meaning, not only to understand, but to experience it with your heart.
See, for me, I mean, over the years, Ramadan is something I find personally difficult. Actually, going without food and water, very difficult. But actually, I've come to realize over the years that the emptiness is an opportunity to be filled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy and His blessings. And actually, you give yourself an opportunity by creating a space to have that. Now, if you fill that space with noise and parties and lots of iftars, etc., perhaps you're not going to really have an opportunity to fill that space with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that would be a great opportunity missed. And so for me, I think that it's a real opportunity to nourish the soul. And of course, living in our world, ever increasingly consumer world, which isn't just a Western phenomenon, that consumerism goes all over the world. It goes into Muslim majority countries at a very profound level. They may not have built the churches, but they've built the cathedrals, the shopping malls, which are the cathedrals of the 21st century. But where is that spiritual nourishment going to come from? And so the fast pace of life that we live, when fasting, gives us the opportunity to slow right down. So fasting creates a slowness, which creates a space for God.
So you would say it's not different here than in the Muslim majority countries are, once again, because as you said, the world culture is everywhere, consumerism and fashion is everywhere. So the struggle, the jihad in nafs, which is this intimate jihad, intimate effort to grow spiritually, is the same. Is there something specific you can see that, for example, that's true that, you know, the fact that we are listening to the call for prayers and the atmosphere is helping a lot. And I still think that there is something which is missing. That's, as you said, we can learn from the Muslim majority countries, but how can we reconcile this and come back to the essence of fasting in the West, and not only to make it something which is a ritual without a meaning, but a ritual in the name of the meaning.
But I think what you have is human nature. You have its weaknesses wherever you live in the world. And it's about trying, wherever you are, to find the depth, to sort of mine the depths of what you're searching for. And you will get out of Ramadan what you put into it. So just like everything within our faith is judged by intention, if you intend to please your Lord, to seek your Lord, to try and find fulfillment from your Lord, that's what you'll get. If you want to have a sort of party where we all get together and it just becomes a very nice event, then that's what you'll get. And so I think it's not really about where you are, but it's about how you are in your mind. It's a state of being, and you can be in that state of being, in Cairo, or even in Mecca or in London. It's about how you deal with yourself, and you can't run from yourself no matter where you are. And that spiritual journey is very, very hard, which is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there'll be people who fast that get nothing more than hunger and thirst, which is terribly scary. So I think
because we are all experiencing that firsthand.
Yeah, that's all we get, and we're going to end up on the last day, the final day, and go to God thinking we're going to get all of this reward, and there'll be nothing because we didn't actually understand it. I think that when we look for answers of why we fast, it's really good to search for those, but also to remember that connectivity, that spiritual lesson, that spiritual growth. I always think Ramadan is a time for actual, not just purification, but real growth as a human being, as any challenge in life.
Yes, and at the end of the day, it's a personal commitment that you have to go for it wherever you are. There is the other dimension, because Ramadan is this. This is just to get this awareness that you are on your own and you should be involved in this journey, this spiritual journey. There is the social dimension. It's easier, apparently, easier when you are surrounded by Muslims to go and say, okay, I have to help the poor because they are Muslims, and this understanding that I help my people and this I help my community, because at the end of the day, It's a spiritual communion with your brothers and sisters in Islam. Quite different when you are in the West. And there is a sense that, oh, we have to come back to our community, to withdraw into our families. And this is the experience. So a social family experience that sometimes is focusing and reduced to the Muslim community. Mm. While in the West, what can we learn? Because you said this, we have to learn from Muslim majority countries. Mm. What can we learn in order to make it something which also is consistent with the substance of fasting in a community?
I think there are two sort of social aspects which come to mind. The one which we've already explored, and we've already explored that sense of glue that binds you together, that to come into the community. And I don't think that's anything bad. To be strong within your community, to be confident within your community isn't a bad thing. And it doesn't necessarily mean isolationism within your community. It just means that you know who you are and you're certain, you know, it's like being secure in a family. The other thing, of course, transcends that community, and it's our experience with a social experience with the world's poor. When we have pangs of hunger, that okay, they're filled at iftar time, but you at least have an association with people who don't have the opportunity to alleviate their hunger. And that's global, that's human. And I think that that's a wonderful opportunity to engage. And I mean, we see at the moment in the Horn of Africa where there's terrible poverty and starvation, one of the worst famines for a generation. How can we not connect with that as a human being? So there's a social connection, yes, with our community, which I don't think we should feel bad about. I think that it's a positive thing. But also there's a social connection with humanity.
So it's not mutually exclusive. And this is something which is a very important point, because very, very often we are push and we are under the pressure, you have to decide. In order to show that you are a true British or European citizen, you have to get out of your spiritual community to show that you are and to act outside. Mm-hmm. Well, what you are saying is that this strength within is not in contradiction with this reaching out in the society. Now, there is this international concern when it comes to, you know, Somalia, for example, mm-hmm. these days, where you have this famine and something which is just the global order, just showing us how crazy we are becoming and how this awareness as Muslims is central. So not only it's important to be involved in this, but also to transform the our fasting into a very strong message for our fellow citizens and the world today is just, we are fasting not only for ourselves, but we are fasting because it's also questioning the injustice of the global order. I don't see and don't hear this message enough. It's very often about solidarity, much more than about justice. And at the end, what is happening in Africa, it's a question of justice, not only a question of charity.
Absolutely, and we really need to question. I mean, I was reading about this Ramadan, how in buffets, hotel buffets, in Muslim-majority countries, in Dubai, this particular article, but I'm sure it goes on across the Muslim world, iftar buffets, how they compete offering dishes, 40 dishes, 50 dishes for iftar, come and eat all you want. Well, I don't know about you, I can barely eat anything at iftar time. So there's huge wastage of food. Literally, 500,000 tons of food is due to be wasted in this small area during Ramadan. Now, how does that form part of the global justice? Mm. When we're meant to be seeking a sense of understanding about the poor, the two just don't match. I mean, to waste food at any time of the year is bad. To waste it during Ramadan is a horror. Yeah. And I mean, the Quran says, eat of the good things. Mm. You know, the Quran doesn't want us to, wants us to enjoy what God has created. Yeah. Eat of the good things, but don't waste, because God doesn't love the wasteful. And I think that message, we should understand it more fully during Ramadan. And this, I think, is the opportunity for experiencing the faith as a social justice movement. Of course, it's not everything about the faith. It is about ibadat as well, and we mustn't forget that it's about worship.
Yes, but what you said at the beginning, which is essential.
We can also experience the notion of social justice, the notion of transformation, spiritual transformation. And I think that all of these things are enriching to that experience.
But you know, you are editing and you know, in charge of a ML magazine, you are trying to reach out. Why do you think this message, because this is not only a contribution, it's a duty, it's an imperative in our time. How is it that today, while we are trying to talk, we are trying to send this message within the Muslim communities, but also around. How is it that still the essence of this message is not there, is not heard? It's as if Ramadan is for the Muslims, and it's not a message for the world. It's not a message for the other countries. And once again, it's talking about justice, but it's not visible. You were talking about, you know, petro-monarchies, and many Muslim majority countries are experiencing the same, and even Muslims in the West. How could be the duty of Western Muslims? What should they do in order to change that?
Look, at the end of the day, we recognize that there are problems all over the world, but I think that fasting is nothing new. It's not an exclusively Muslim phenomenon, you know. Christians fast, Jews fast, Buddhists fast, which the Quran reminds us. And so there's a connectivity. So I make sure I share that when I'm speaking to people outside of the Muslim community. But within the modern age, fasting is very strange. And it's about saying, yes, it is strange. It goes against my notion, any notion of self-interest. In my notion of self-interest, I feed myself, I water myself, you know, I enjoy the good things of life all of the time without thought. But actually, fasting allows you to remember it's more than about, there's a lot more than my self-interests, a lot more than my wants, my needs, my hunger. And there's hunger all over the world. Mm. Now, perhaps we lose sight of that when, just like Christmas, you know, Christmas is taken away from the message of the essence of what Christianity is about too often because consumerism gets in the way, and we have to make sure that that's not the case.
Thank you so much. I think that during this discussion and what you said was very important from the very beginning, yes, there are specificities for Muslims, Western Muslims, to experience, you know, fasting. But at the end of the day, what is happening in Muslim majority countries is not so specific when it comes to the spiritual message, when it comes to challenge the world culture and consumerism. It's everywhere. So it's a personal commitment. It's to come back to oneself and to go for this journey, understanding what are the priorities. And at the same time, there is two dimensions here that are important. Solidarity when it comes to the poor, when we are just witnessing now what is happening in Somalia. But not only, it's also a question of justice. To fast is to be just with our own self, but also to try to get a sense of justice towards humanity, not only our brothers and sisters in Islam, but our brothers and sisters in humanity. And what you said is a commitment. This is a commitment that every single soul, every single human being should understand and also promote in his or her life. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guests, Sarah Joseph. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.